The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 8, Text 36, given by Dhanavir Das Vanachari on November 8, 1992, in Zephyrs Hills, Florida.
This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc., by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first one should select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. There are different transcendental activities of the Lord, and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his dealings with the Pandavas. There are many other pastimes of the Lord in connection with his dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealings with his conjugal associates, the gopis, as well as his married wives at Dvaraka, are mentioned. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes people, in an unauthorized hearing process, take more interest in hearing about his dealings with the gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer. So a bona fide speaker of the dealings of the Lord never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other scriptures, and that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. One should not, therefore, consider that his dealings with the Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the gopis. We must always remember that the Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment. In all the above-mentioned dealings of the Lord, he is the hero in all circumstances, and hearing about him or about his devotees or combatants is conducive to spiritual life. It is said that the Vedas and the Puranas, etc., are all made to revive our lost relation with him. Hearing of all these scriptures is essential. Srinanti gayanti krinanti bhikshnashaha smaranti nandanti tadehi tamjanaha te eva pashyantya charena tavakam vava pravaho paramam padambujam om agyanat mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuram nirutam jena tasmai shri gurubhema. So out of the 9 processes of devotional service, one is mentioned here. 2 are mentioned here, especially hearing and chanting. Shrinvanti and Gayanti. So this refers to hearing and chanting about Krishna, somehow or other. Whether it's Krishna's name, that is also hearing and chanting about Krishna. The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is Shrinvanti and Gayanti, both. Or hearing Bhagavad Gita, which are the personal words of Lord Krishna, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are the descriptions about Lord Krishna's pastimes with his devotees and also with the non-devotees, or hearing the descriptions by other devotees in the form of purports, actually Prabhupada's purports, or the talks between Vidura and Maitreya. Whenever there are devotees present, or the Lord is present, then we can be sure that whatever the discussions are will be transcendental. Last evening we were speaking with one gentleman who, like many others, had the conception that since words are material and sound is material, therefore the absolute truth cannot be described by words. This is the impersonalist stance. Because they cannot conceive of any varieties or any kind of substance on the spiritual platform. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, they simply conclude that since everything that I see is material, the opposite, the spiritual, must be something imperceptible. So that is, in one sense, that's better than the materialists, who don't see anything beyond this material world. They don't believe in anything spiritual or transcendental. Well, they're, of course, very gross, like animals. At least the impersonalists are better. They accept that there is something transcendental, but they can't describe what it is. But they're sure that it's there, which is true. However, that is compared to a person seeing a mountain from a long distance. He's seeing the mountain, and he can make out that there's something there. There's some brown color, but that's all he can see. It's a very vague conception. Yeah, there's a mountain. But the person who goes closer takes a more direct, close-up look, he can see, oh, not only is there a mountain here, but there are trees, and there are flowers, and there are rocks, and there are animals, and birds, and there's so many things here. It's not just a brown mass. There's much more. So the devotees of the Lord have broken through the impersonal white light effulgence, and they've gone into the personal domain of the Lord. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tattvam pushyam apavarnu satya dharmaya drishtaye. The devotee is praying, "My dear Lord, please remove your effulgence, your dazzling effulgence, so that I may see your real form of bliss." The devotees are more interested in seeing Krishna and Krishna's devotees than they are in the white light. Sometimes the impersonalists are very proud of their attachment to the white light. They think that seeing the white light is more important, or getting that kind of liberation into the Brahman is more important than actually attaining the Lord's abode. But one great stalwart devotee, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he has said in this connection, Bhakti tvayis tirataram bhagavan yadisyad daivena na palati divya kishor murti mukti svayam mukulitanjani sevate swan dharmartha kama gataya samaya pratiksha. Which means that, my dear Lord, those who are engaged in your pure devotional service, naturally, you reveal to them your transcendental form. And as such, on that platform, the mukti is a female maidservant. She is a personified. So mukti, she stands with her hands folded, sevate sman, ready to offer service to me, to that devotee. And not only that, but along with mukti come the religious principles, dharma, artha, economic development, and kama, sense gratification. They're also there standing as her maidservants offering the devotee service. So the conclusion is that one who engages in pure devotional service to Krishna and is seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal feature has nothing to be desired in terms of liberation or economic development or sense gratification or religious principles. All is included in that activity of devotional service. It is all inclusive. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita that the Brahman effulgence is emanating from Krishna. It is not that, as some think, that the Brahman is the source of Krishna. I remember once we went to a... early days, we went to a yoga conference. Many different yoga groups were there. It was a big gathering. And the master of ceremonies was a so-called Swami. At the end of the program, after all the yogis had spoken and after all the devotees had chanted kirtan and everything, he kind of summarized the whole event. And he had his female secretaries with his arms around them. He was on the stage. He was very friendly. So he said, "Now it is so wonderful that we've all joined together here, and let us continue with our spiritual quest and go up, up, and beyond, beyond the personal, and ultimately into the white light, into the impersonal." So that was his conclusion, that beyond the personal conception is the impersonal. In other words, the Brahman is the source of everything, including Krishna and the spiritual world. However, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Brahmanohi patishtaham." I am the basis of that impersonal Brahman. It is emanating from me. "Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattak sarvam pavartate." Everything comes from me, Krishna says, both material and spiritual worlds. So that includes the Brahman effulgence. That effulgence is his glow, his aura. It's like nowadays in some universities they study auras. And they can see that actually when the living entity is within a particular body, he gives off some kind of light, some kind of aura, which may not be perceived by everyone, but there are some instruments that can perceive it. And they've also noticed that according to one's spirituality, the aura may be larger or greater, which is true, because the living entity, more covered by the modes of passion and ignorance, of course, the effulgence will not be as great. And there are many examples of this, of the great souls who actually carry with them an effulgence. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to visit the sannyasis headed by Prakasananda Sarasvati, they were so astounded by his effulgence. Of course, he's not ordinary devotee even. He's Lord Narayan himself, the source of the Brahman effulgence. But he shone his great Brahman effulgence, and they were very attracted because they were impersonalists. They like the effulgence. But the devotees prefer Krishna than the effulgence. They're not so much interested in his energies, but they're more interested in him. Just like when Arjuna and Duryodhana were given the choice whether they would like to take Krishna on their side or Krishna's army. Arjuna took Krishna, and Duryodhana was happy to take his army. This is the standard for the materialist. They like to take his energy, the non-devotees. They like to enjoy those things that are emanating from him, but they're not very much interested in Krishna. Like sometimes you'll hear the impersonalist say, "Yes, God is everywhere, so why do you need to worship in the temple?" Well, if God is everywhere, then he's also in the temple, so what's wrong with worshiping the temple? But they don't like to go to the temple. Because actually they're envious. Lord Chaitanya has even described them as being aparadis. Mayavadi Krishna aparadi. They're offended because they're envious. They cannot stand that there is a person greater than themselves who has form and qualities and personality, and it's all spiritual, because they've admitted that their body is material. It is mithya, so they try to make it false. It's very hard for them to conceive because of their envy. Anasuyave, this is a qualification for spiritual advancement. One has to be non-envious. And the first envy is to be envious of Krishna, to be envious of God. Why should he be greater than I? Why should he be more beautiful? Why should he be more powerful? So in this way, they try to annihilate him through philosophical speculation. God is not a person. God has no form. He has no hands. He has no name. They say, how can God have name? Name is created by us. But why words do you think are created by you? They say God is if you have form of God, that's anthropomorphism. But if we accept the statement that man is created in the image of God, which is in all the scriptures, then how do you say anthropomorphism? We're created in His image, not that He's created in our image. The problem is we've become so self-centered that we think we're the cause of everything in the universe, basically. We think the universe exists just because we're here. And life exists because we're here, and the sun is there because of us. This is our egotism. This evolutionary theory has made man into a very arrogant and proud species, thinking that we are the ultimate perfection of the evolutionary natural process. But actually, we're very insignificant, and we're only one of the 8,400,000 species. And not only that, but we're not very advanced, even in comparison to other humans or human-like species. There are many higher planets. We're situated in the middle planet called Marchaloka. There are another six planetary systems going upwards, including Janaloka, Svargaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, ultimately Satyaloka or Brahmaloka. And going down, there are Patala Loka, Atala, Vitala, etc. There's so many different planetary systems. So our position is quite mediocre. We're in the middle. We're not so learned. We're not so great. And we're especially not great unless we're engaged in pure devotional service, because our position is so faulty that after giving up this body, we'll probably be going down into a lower species of life. And then our pride will be more defeated. Imagine if someone takes the body of a tree. Sometimes the impersonalists, they get the bodies of trees, where they can not have to be very active. They like to simply exist. So a tree exists for thousands of years. It's not a very great accomplishment. They want to ignore the form of Krishna. Their idea is to stop the senses, because they cannot imagine that the transcendental form of the Lord can be perceived. He can be perceived, and He has His form, He has His hands, and He has His beautiful lotus eyes and lotus feet, and His abode, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Briksha Lakshabriteshu Surubhi Rabhi Palayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Sambhava Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamham Vajami. He has His whole transcendental abode, but it's not revealed to the non-devotees. It's only revealed Premanjana Chirita Bhakti Valochanena to those who are pure lovers in devotional service of Krishna. Then their eyes are smeared with the ointment of love of Krishna, and that is the necessary qualification. In the same way, if we want to hear about Krishna, he can be described. His qualities are describable. However, not by the materialists. They don't have the power. Their words cannot describe him. But the devotees have the words to describe him, because those words are given by Krishna. Krishna actually gives them the transcendental intelligence. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantate. He gives them the intelligence to describe him in choice poetry, uttama shloka. Just like little Dhruva Maharaj was a 5-year-old boy, and the Lord appeared before him, and he was so stunned, he couldn't speak, but by the Lord's grace, he touched his head with his kancha, and then Dhruva Maharaj was able to speak very beautiful words in praise of the Lord. There are many examples of this. There was the son of Prata Prataparudra Maharaj, just a little boy, but Lord Chaitanya showered his blessings on him, and then he spoke very beautifully, even though he was just a little tiny child. So there are no material qualifications, but if Krishna blesses someone that he may have the ability, then he can speak very nicely by the grace of the Lord. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yakripatamaham bande shri gurum dinatanu. By the grace of this, by the mercy of the spiritual master, mukam karoti vachalam, one who is dumb, the dumb man, he can speak eloquent words. So this is the, and one who is a blind man can see the stars in the sky, and one who is lame, pangam langayate girim, he can climb mountains. So there's nothing that's impossible for one who gets the mercy of Krishna and the representative of Krishna. They are equally merciful. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions?
You quoted the verse, Tesham Yuktanam. So before we can hear, understand Krishna's instructions coming from within the heart, it seems that one needs to first be free from the effects of the modes of material nature.
If one is following the principles of bhakti and the spiritual master is guiding him, then he is already situated on the transcendental platform. Mamcha yogya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sabhinan samati kyaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Devotional service is transcendental. We shouldn't think of it as being on the material platform. Otherwise, that would mean that Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas are engaging us in material activities. In other words, even though we're imperfect and we have so many material desires and which are contaminated, still the process of bhakti is so pure that it brings one onto the transcendental platform, to the boat. In other words, when you're on the boat, you're out of the water. If you're in the ocean, you're drowning. If you're in the middle of the ocean, there's nothing you can do. You're going to drown. But if someone comes along with a little boat, even a little dinghy, and pulls you up into that boat, then you're safe. Even though it's not a very big boat or whatever. But you're out of the water. So, the boat of devotional service is the lotus feet of the Lord. And one who enters into that boat, and what does that entering into the boat mean? It means he's following the instructions of the spiritual master, following the acharyas. And he should not be desiring anything material. Anya bilashita shunyam gyanakam adyanavritam. That's not so difficult. Sometimes people, they become a little influenced by this kind of prevailing philosophy that we hear sometimes, that, well, we're meant to sin. I'm a sinner, and I'll always be a sinner. And I'm not going to even try to give up my sins. So they don't make any effort. Sometimes we even hear devotees become influenced by this philosophy. Well, I'm just fallen. They use a different word. They say, I'm fallen. What can I do? But what you can do is stop being fallen. And how do you stop being fallen? You follow these simple procedures. It's like if you're diseased. You say, well, I'm diseased. I'm just diseased. Disease is not an eternal position. It's not your natural position. If you're diseased, take the cure. So what is the cure? Anecho shadi maya nashi baro lagi hari nama maha mantra lao tumi magi. The cure is the chanting. So chant Hare Krishna. And if you chant Hare Krishna, then you'll get the strength to follow the regulative principles. Mm-hmm. If you don't chant Hare Krishna, then especially here in the West, it'll be difficult to follow the regulative principles. But if you chant, you'll get sufficient strength. And if you hear from the right sources, and you take Krishna prasadam. What's the difficulty? You have to eat something, so why not eat something that's been offered to Krishna first? It takes a few seconds, that's all. And the result is that you'll get spiritual strength, you'll become advanced, and you'll be on the transcendental platform. But if you say, no, I'm too fallen to offer my food, alright then yes, you are fallen. Then that is your choice. But if you can just chant Hare Krishna, offer your food to Krishna, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Krishna says, if you offer me with a little love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or what, I will accept it. And if Krishna accepts your offering, then you're immediately on the transcendental platform. It means you're a friend of Krishna. So devotional service itself is transcendental. It's not material. As long as you follow it properly. You cannot concoct your own way. Shruti smriti puranadi pancharatra vinimbina aikantiki hareya bhakti upadaya kalpate. You can't make up your own and say, well, I don't, the scriptures say this, but I have my own way. Well, then you'll just be a disturbance in society, and then Krishna won't accept that. There is a standard process for pleasing Krishna and for performing devotional service. It's not that everyone makes up their own. Yatta mata tatta pata. Whatever way you want to do it, that's alright. No. Krishna is not like that. Krishna has given either him through personally or through his representatives, and we have this information how to please him. For example, if you have a very special guest coming to your house and his secretary has told you that this person, he likes a particular food preparation prepared this way, if you make it, he'll be very pleased. So if you do that, then you know you'll please him. But if you don't follow that instruction, say, well, I don't care, I'll make something else, I'm sure he'll like it. You make something else and he turns it down, he's very disappointed. So there's a standard process for pleasing the Lord. He's a person, he has senses, and he can be pleased if one offers him with love and devotion the right things. Alright, we'll stop there. Grantarashima Bhagavatam ki jai.